I'll reread a sentence or two so that we take care of the leader. For if you shine a light into the darkness, is it still dark? No, for it is not possible. In the same manner, the truth will always stand above the lies and consume same. You are seeing the beginnings of this now in your world as the lies are beginning to be exposed for their true nature. You ones that have carried this truth forward at the expense of your own well-being and suffered the slings and arrows of the enemy are to be saluted, and we of the host salute you ones now. For your road has been a difficult one, and at every turn have you run headlong into obstacles. Yet stop you could not, for even when your conscious minds told you that all was folly, you continued in the face of difficulties, knowing on a deeper level that this was the purpose for which you came to this experience. You ones have worked diligently and have grown weary from the uphill climb, but now that climb is worth the effort, as will be realized upon reaching the crest of the mountain. Keep up the good work, Chelas, for we are nearing the top of the mountain. Now let us begin our lessons. Yes, lessons is just what I am about. I come to bring you the education about your physical planet that is lacking in your world's system of education. Most have little or no practical knowledge of what the physical nature of your planet is all about. Teaching you of these things is my job, so if ones consider that I am a teacher rather than a commander, then I accept that recognition, for there is no greater command than that of a teacher. Bringing knowledge brings empowerment, and empowerment brings with it freedom and liberty, and that, precious ones, is what this mission is all about. So, to those that consider me teacher, I thank you. Because of the increased seismic activity upon your world, it is important that you ones understand exactly what earthquakes are and what the causes of these unsettling events are. Your earth is a body of rock masses which shift relative to one another. This shifting produces earthquakes within the crust and below in the ocean trenches in the upper mantle to approximately a depth of 700 kilometers. It's roughly 500 miles. Earthquakes, then, are generated by this slow shifting of the rock masses. All things have a certain amount of elasticity, including rocks. However, everything has a limit as to the amount of elasticity, and when the shifting creates more strain than the rocks are able to endure, the rocks fracture and release the stored elastic energy. This release is experienced as seismic waves of various types which echo away from the area of the initial fracture. This initial point of fracture, in your terms, is known as the focus or hypocenter. This is not to be confused with the epicenter, which is the point at the surface directly above the focus. Imagine, if you will, slowly pulling a rubber band. The rubber band has stored elastic energy. It can be stretched just so far before it breaks. When it breaks, the stored elastic energy is released suddenly. The energy continues to travel outward from the rubber band. Inside the earth, this energy will continue to travel outward from the point of the fracture, or focus, for sometimes hundreds of miles. As these waves of energy travel outward from the initial point of fracture, they will come in contact with other rock masses and, depending upon the density of the rock, can be either refracted, bent, or reflected, bounced back. Consider if you shine light through the air. If the air is not dense, the energy of the light continues to travel uninterrupted. Yet if the air is dense, say with fog or cloud, the light comes in contact with the fog or cloud and the light is reflected back. The same holds true of the seismic waves. The seismograph is an instrument used by your scientists to record earth motions associated with seismic waves. They are set to measure three directions of travel: vertical, east, west, and north, south. The first wave which will be encountered is the compressional wave, followed by the shear wave. These two waves travel at different velocities, the compressional wave traveling approximately 40% faster than the shear wave. Once the velocities of the two waves are known, the time between the arrival of the two waves is a measure of the distance to the earthquake focus. The data from several seismograph stations are then analyzed and the position of the earthquake is then determined. The problem with this method of measurement should be quite obvious. The equipment is positioned on the Earth, which during a seismic event is also affected by the motion. Therefore, a true reading cannot be determined. The methods by which we monitor your seismic activity is done with light. I shall not go into great length here, but it is based upon the principles that your scientists employ, the measurement of energy and density. But we employ the utilization of light instead of mechanical or electronic equipment. I explained above that light will reflect or refract differently as it comes into contact with various densities of rock and soil. Because all energy in the universe is light, the energy that is released during earthquakes can be measured in terms of various frequencies of light. The reflections and refractions then also can be measured in these various frequencies of light as well. Because our position is such that we are far above the activity, ours is therefore a much more advantageous position, which allows us to take more comprehensive and long-range readings, as well as correlate one event of activity in relation to another. From this data, scientists from their very... From this data, then, we are able to draw more detailed conclusions than are your scientists from their very limited data. Also, by measuring energy in its primary state, light, this gives us the advantage of extremely accurate frequency readings. If you took the time to study the map that accompanied the writing 2 weeks ago, January the 12th, you will note that there are many earthquakes occurring which are not located directly on any of the known faults in California. Chiles, this should give you food for some concern. This is an indication that a tremendous amount of energy is building in many places and that more fractures are occurring below the surface than in the past. This, then, carries with it the implication that the entire area is rapidly approaching a critical stage of instability. The earthquake of last week near the city of Gilroy, being located on the juncture of the Hayward Fault, Calaveras Fault, and the San Andreas Fault, was a serious one indeed. That point of interconnection is a point of extreme weakness, and though your scientists attempt to soothe you with the fact that it was only a 5.1 or 5.7, do not be deceived. It is possible that even a slight tremor at the right point of the intersection of these three faults could produce devastating results. Ones are very concerned about the San Andreas Fault, and though this fault is the one that carries the greatest potential for destruction, the other faults, such as the Hayward Fault near San Francisco and the Whittier Fault in the Los Angeles area, pose a much greater threat. These faults, if activated, have the possibility of carrying the waves of energy directly to the San Andreas, acting as catalysts to excite the San Andreas Fault, which would bring about the destructive big one. In actuality, any of the lesser faults in the area now have the potential to start the chain reaction due to the amount of faults and their relationship to one another. Your ground is extremely unstable because of all of the bombardments that you have received, compliments of your world's elite masters. The rock has been so pulverized that in many places it is now nothing but what appears to be gravel, which shifts very easily. The granite pillars, however, are still more or less intact. So although these areas are shaking and shuddering, the integrity of these places are still holding quite solid. These places which rest upon the granite pillars will be those places that will remain as the islands once the earth changes, go into full swing, for these granite pillars reach down into the earth almost to the core. Granite is also extremely dense, and the energy waves produced by the earthquakes are generally reflected away from the granite. Although the granite pillar areas are fairly safe areas relative to earthquake destruction, you will be shook severely as the land around these areas gives way. Then, following this, you will have tidal waves to contend with, which are extremely powerful forces and carry the potential for mass destruction as well. With all the rain that you ones have experienced in the past several weeks, you are indeed in a very fragile state of affairs. As this water has created not only many areas of flooding and mudslides, it has also placed a considerable amount of strain upon your dams. In fact, several of these dams are showing signs of weakness, and in some cases, actual damage has already been noted. Other damage will not come to the attention of your authorities until much later. There are many areas, such as those in Arizona, that would be under several feet of water should the upper dam, Roosevelt, experience breakage. There is a series of lakes and dams that act as reservoirs for the irrigation system in Arizona, which is how the Phoenix area is able to endure the months of drought that is normal for that part of the desert. It is estimated that should the upper and largest of the dams break and release the water, it would in turn place too much burden on the lower and lesser dams, and the end result would be that all these dams would then give way, which would cause the greater Phoenix area to be under several feet of water. This is a very good likelihood, given the damage that has been experienced in addition to all the added water that is being held by these dams from the recent rainfall. California is in much the same situation, although you are still being told that you are still in a drought condition. Water is one of the most powerful forces that is known and is not something to be taken lightly. Mudslides are another matter which you ones, especially in California, have to contend with. However, the destruction caused by these are brought about by man's insistence upon defying his environment. There is an ongoing history of mudslides there from man building on the sides of hills which have had most of the natural vegetation removed. There is then nothing to hold the soil in place, and during the very wet times, such as which have been experienced recently, the soil becomes so saturated that it begins to flow. Gravity works such that it will flow downhill, Chilu. And yet more and more buildings are erected on these hills in defiance of nature. Though you may think it cruel, you ones that have experienced this have received in kind that which you have sown. As your world approaches that time of transition, you must know all things will come into their natural and godly balances. The entire universe is based upon the principle of giving and receiving. Defy nature and receive back like from nature. Give love and receive back love. It is now the time when all things are accelerated, and that which once took many years of your counting to return now is returning at a much more rapid pace. This rapidity of return will only increase the closer you ones come to that time of transition. The earth will transition, regardless of whether its inhabitants are ready for it or not. You would be well advised to ready yourselves for this event, as it is not one which can be avoided. You will either take that step up with your world, or you will be removed from the experience to a place that is in the lower dimension of expression to experience the path again. It is not possible to stop the natural evolution of the universe, for it is the natural order of all things to move forward on the spiral of creation, experiencing all the dimensions of expression and eventually reuniting again with the Creator. It is the eternal cycle that goes on to the infinite. Your choices are only two, to be at one with the creation or to go crosswise to it, which will net you only more experiences in the limited dimensional expressions, never completing the cycle. The choice is yours, Jilas. I realize that we have given you a lot here upon which to contemplate, and I feel it best to draw this to a close at this point. Your world is changing rapidly, and you have need to have understanding and knowledge of that which you see happening around you daily. You shall not acquire that understanding and knowledge from your elite controlled sources, for they are but pawns of their master, the adversary. You have a new president now, one that has been groomed for many years for the position of this time. His assignment is to bring the new world, he uses this as opposed to the new world order, into reality. Under the auspices of the United Nations, your one world government, watch very carefully, precious ones, for you shall see an acceleration of the elite's goal. World domination by year 2000. It is a time of learning to trust in the unseen, Chilas, for in it you will find reality. Blessings upon each and every one who go forth with the torch that bears up the light of truth. We of the host hold you in total God love. Soltec to clear. Salute.
Donho. I appreciate that, EJ. I thank you. we'll be a little bit gentle with Ed. He takes the responsibility of editing and structuring the Liberator greatly, greatly to heart. He wants you to be pleased with it, proud of it, as a parent would be of something well done. And in the process, he takes on probably more than he should. On the other hand, he cannot do less. And I've asked that the Constitution be run again. We're going to have to run some things very, very frequently. They're going to bore you ones who have been taking the Liberator, the protocols, the manifesto, the Illuminati plan, the New World Order plan. The Constitution needs to be brought before your attention frequently. Not until you can recite it and explain to me every phrase in it do I accept that you're bored with it. A little game to play is one that these ones play frequently. What is the Fifth Amendment? What is your Fifth Amendment to the Constitution in your Bill of Rights?
Self-incrimination.
What is your third? What is your tenth? What is your first article? What is your second article? Do you understand everything there is to know about your congressman and your judicial system and everything from the length of the presidency to the qualifications? Because you see, they plan to change it all. And if man doesn't know what he's talking about, it's just like Jack McLam says about the police officers. You're taught a bunch of rules and regulations, legislative, set up by counties and cities, etc. And they all defy and move away from the Constitution of the United States. And yet you can't go into a courtroom and shout and pound the table. They'll throw you out, cite you for contempt, and put you in prison. And legally they can do it because they have the bigger gun. So we have to always keep in mind the needs of the information that goes forth. And in addition to that, I have written less this particular week because we want to run some of these other things. Ultimately, the Liberator is the voice of the people. It was in its birthing and conception as far back as that which was done in Egypt. You have to have a voice for the people. And that means that the people must have voice. Thank you for coming. I appreciate every one of you. And I'm sorry that there is disagreement and problem with others. We have compassion and we have understanding. Let us be gentle as we all grow. Salud.
Thank you.